Hi there, thank you for pressing play on this week's Sweet Spot. It's the weekly Racing Post Golf Show with Bruce Millington, and this week, standing in for Steve Palmer, we've got Super Sub Joe Champion. Steve, last seen with the family, hope with the family, up at Alton Towers, swapping emotional roller coasters of backing golfers for real roller coasters. Steve will be back next week. Instead, we are honoured to have Super Sub Joe, who's the regular tipster for the Racing and Football Outlook. Three tournaments this week to look ahead to. I'm sure the champ has been studying hard. Look forward to seeing what he comes up with. But first of all, it was a really, really frantically busy week last week. Four tournaments, four winners, all to varying degrees fell into the kind of backable category. Lucas Herbert won the ISPS Handa. He was nearly favourite, ran about 20 to 1, held it together and won the playoff against Aaron Cockerell. What else did we have? Liv, Taylor Gooch threatened to run away with that. I think he was eight shots clear after two of the three rounds. Tried to make it interesting, blew five shots in four holes, ran about the turn, but held on. He was around about 25 to 1. Then we had the first women's major of the year. That was the Chevron Championship, which Lilia Vu won in a playoff. She was around about 20 to 1. We thought we were going to strike gold there with Steve's titical. But unfortunately, at the water, her ball went into the water 18, which was very, very irksome. And then finally, of course, on the US tour, it was the Zurich Classic in New Orleans. And Davis Mavis Riley finally got off the mark in partnership with Nick Hardy. They were 50 to 1 at the start. They got the job done there. So well done to them. Joe, just reflecting on last week, let's look at maybe three kind of talking points. What caught your eye last week?
Yeah, I think everyone's talking about Live Golf Adelaide, aren't they? That's the first thing I sort of noticed. It was all over social media, that Chase Koepka hole in one on the watering hole, they called it.
Why was it called the watering hole?
Because all the Australians drink a few beers around there, and then the 16th at Phoenix on acid on
steam. Oh wow.
It was quite a scene. I suppose that was to be expected in Australia. You've got the Greg Norman link, you've got Cam Smith, kind of the marquee signing for Live Golf. My thoughts were, why don't they have that team championship in Australia rather than in that soulless course in Jeddah? I know obviously there's the Saudi Arabia links with Live Golf, but they didn't have it. They had it in Miami last year. It worked well. It was one of the more interesting things to come out of Live Golf, that team championship. I think it'd be great in Australia. There are 100,000 Australians in Adelaide at that golf tournament over the weekend. Hasn't been the case with most of these Live events. They've not been that well attended. I think, you know, that'd really get people talking about it if they did that instead.
Do the Saudis necessarily want images of drunkenness associated with their brand?
Well, maybe not, but it certainly didn't seem to bother them last week.
No. What else caught your eye last week, Joe?
Well, we mentioned Lucas Herbert, and I just want to touch on players that are dropping in class in DP World Tour events. Lucas Herbert mainly been playing on the PGA Tour this year, played well in the match play where he did get out of his group, but he hadn't done much else. But I look back for his form, and he'd been playing only in designated events, so playing in elite fields every week. Lucas Herbert drops down to a very low-key DP World Tour field and wins, and that's despite a nightmare travel issue coming in. He didn't get to Japan until Wednesday evening, so terrible prep really for Lucas Herbert, but class ran out in the end. He was great in the playoff. He drove the ball superbly all week, and I think just looking forward to future DP World Tour events, players like, I'm thinking Ryan Fox, someone like that, Nikolai
when Bodyguard. They drop in against the usual cast, yeah, that they've got a class edge.
Yeah, Adrian Morant will try and do that this week. We'll touch on that later, but definitely an angle to look for in these DP World Tour events.
Excellent. And what else have you got for us?
And the other one was just, we mentioned the Zurich Classic already, Mavis Riley, real sweet spot favourite, and Nick Hardy as well. Two very good players, very bright futures. They became a great team, I think. Very similar skill sets. And I think that is something you've got to look out for when you consider this event next year. Look for players that complement each other well. Both very good long drivers, both very good iron players. Worked out very well for them. Fair play to them. Good team. Good win.
Now, I should know this, but I was up in Scotland last week playing a little track called, I think it was called Turnberry. So I didn't really watch too much. But we obviously, Steve put up Im and Mitchell. and they faltered very annoyingly on the Sunday. Whose fault was that? Was one playing particularly badly, or were they both to blame?
Well, to be honest with you, Bruce, I didn't watch much of it either. Yeah, shouldn't really admit that live on air, but I was travelling back from my partner's mother's house.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I'll root it out. I'll find out who it was, and whoever it is are in my bad books, because they cost me a place multiple. But never mind. We move on. Let's look ahead to this week. Like I said, we've got three tournaments. US Tour is down in Mexico for the Mexico Open. We've got the Korean Championship, and there's another LIV this week, LIV Singapore. So we'll start with the Mexico Open. And we've got a very short favourite, and we've got a big name, no lesser man than Jonny Rahm, 13-5, current favourite. Tony Finau, 15-2. They're very much the big two in this field. It's 18-1 Barr, which is Wyndham Clark, and then you've got 25-1 Gary Woodland, 30-1 Patrick Rogers. Oh, Nikolai Højgaard's in at 25-1, and then a clutch of players on 33. Davis Mavis Riley's on there. Anne is 35, McNeely 35. So there you go. I mean, we'll see what Joe fancies and whether he does see it as being between the two star names after he's told us all about the track. What's the venue and who does it suit, Joe?
We're at Vedanta Vallarta in Vallarta, Mexico. We played at this course last year, of course, the first PGA Tour version of Mexico Open. It's an old event on the Mexican Tour and the PGA Tour Latino America. 7,456 yard par 71, coastal track, wide open off the tee. So the long hitters can really open their shoulders and make use of their length off the tee. And then the key really to this course is approach shots into the greens. Jon Rahm won last season as 5-1 favourite. Kurt Kitayama, Tony Finau, Davis Riley, Cam Champ, Aaron Wise, Patrick Rogers, all in the top 10. Big hitters at an advantage this week. Not a great field. Two great players at the top of the market, but only eight members of the world's top 100 in attendance this week.
Oh, you haven't done a sweet spot for ages. We've got a new rule. With your course run up, you have to say how many runners there are.
About 144, I think.
Okay, fair enough. All right, then. So, not without further ado, how many tips have you got for the Mexico Open, Joe?
Just two.
Just the two. Okay, then, Joe Champion, lead on, drum roll. Who is your headline selection for the 2023 Mexico Open?
Right, no prizes for originality at all here. Jon Rahm's going to win the Mexico Open. I agonised over this for a while yesterday afternoon, but I couldn't get away from it, really. Course sets up perfectly for him. He showed that last year. Drives the ball a mile. His approach play has been brilliant. He ranks third on the PGA Tour in strokes gained approach. Irons are in fine fettle. And he's just brimming with confidence. Last season, he arrived at Vedanta Vallarta in pretty average form. He'd not made much impact at the Masters. He hadn't won a title since the US Open 10 months earlier. This time around, a completely different story. He's won six titles since the beginning of October. He's won four PGA Tour titles since the start of the year. He's just a different gear to virtually everyone in this field, bar probably Tony Finau, who is not playing as well as Jon Rahm. He's been playing, you know, solid golf, but hasn't really contended for anything this season. I just think, how is Jon Rahm not going to be involved here? I wouldn't normally bet at these sorts of prices, but this is such a weak field. It wasn't a great field last year, but it's even weaker this year. You know, there was Patrick Reed was in it last year, Abraham Anser, a few of the other LIV guys. Three members of the world's top 50, one of whom is number 50, Alex Noren. And Rahm does pick off these lower grade titles when he plays. You think to the amount of times he's gone to the DP World Tour, won the Spanish Open, won other DP World Tour titles where he's gone off at around this sort of price. And I just can't get away from him, really. Brilliant at the Masters. Slow start of the Heritage last time out. I think we can definitely forgive that, just 4 days after Augusta. And credit to him, after his slow start, he came out, shot 64 in the second round, finished 15th. Lesser players might not have bothered. He's an absolute credit to the sport as well. I think he can bag what would be a seventh title in 15 events.
And also probably put a bit of clear water between him, Scheffler and Rory for the old world number one. It'll cement that position, won't it? And, you know, 11-4 is out there. You know, I mean, if you have £4 and it turned that into £15, then no one sniffs at that, do they? If someone gives you a horse at 11-4, I know smaller fields, but and that wins, you're more than happy. So don't be ashamed to take on the short price, Joe. You make a cast iron case. There is one other tip. Who is that?
Yeah, I think if anyone's likely to serve it up to Rahm, obviously, outside of Tony Finau, it could be Gary Woodland, who's one of the only sort of players of major winning pedigree in this field who's still relevant. There's some older guys, veterans around, but Woodland, definitely one of those who could still get back up to that level. We know he struggled a bit for form and fitness over the last couple of years, but really, really top-class ball striker when on his game. Played here last season, finished 24th, opened and closed with rounds of 67, shot a 72 in the second round, which scuppered his bid. But, you know, he hasn't been his best, but he's still capable and much better than most of the, in this field. And some of his results this season have been good. He was ninth in the Genesis Invitational, designated event, behind John Rahm that time, and then fourth again, 14th, sorry, behind Rahm at the Masters. So that form reads really well in this context. Carded four under par rounds to finish 31st at the Heritage, and that came after a long week at Augusta, so I think that's a respectable effort as well. This is a much weaker event. Long driver, great approach player, been excellent in recent weeks. I think Gary Woodland likely to put it up to the favourite out of everyone.
Okay, just quickly on Finau, obviously Rahm is the hot favourite. If you take him out, Finau is the clear second best. What do you make of his chances this week, Joe? Do you think, you know, there'll be some people saying, you know, if I can get a stack of extra places, I'll back him each way. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I wouldn't put people off. I'd be surprised, given the way Tony Finau has been playing and given how consistent he is, that I'd be surprised if he wasn't at least sort of sniffing around a top 10 place. He's a class act, but, you know, 11-4 Rahm, sort of 8-1 Finau, I'd still favour Rahm in that scenario. And yeah, Finau, great player, but just not quite contending in the sharp end.
Okay, thank you very much, Joe. Before we move on to our next tournament, don't forget a reminder, as always, that if you do enjoy the Sweet Spot, we would love you to like, comment, subscribe, or share. If you can do all four, great. If you do just one, that would be much appreciated. Right then, the DP World Tour moves on to Korea this week for the Korea Championship. Got nice basic names this week. We've got the Mexico Open. We've got the Korea Championship. You know where you are with these tournaments. Before Joe tells us all about the course and who he fancies, here is an indicative market show. Rasmus Højgaard and Robert McIntyre, joint favourites at 16. Oh, no, along with Jordan Smith. Yannick Paul, 20. Adrian Meronk, 20. Rosner, 25. And then we've got Bjork at 28. Campillo, 30. Forrest, 30. 33 bar. So as Joe touched upon at the start of the show, it's the usual cast with one or two class acts dropping into the field. We'll see whether Joe fancies one of those after he tells us all about the course.
Yeah, at Jack Nicklaus Golf Club in Incheon, Korea. Busy man, Jack Nicklaus. He seems to design a DP World Tour course every week. 7,470-yard par 72. Similar to last week, and it's hosted a lot of events on the Korean Tour. Obviously, last week was the Japan Tour. Also hosted the 2015 President's Cup, which was won by a point by the US team. Certain Sung Jae-im won the 2019 Genesis Championship this course. Four of the last five winning scores were 7-under or worse, so quite a tough track, tough long, particularly with forecast winds this week. Wide open golf course, but large undulating greens, so really acquiring sharp approach play. You want to hit the right spots on the greens. Strong iron play, probably the main asset this week. And should mention, obviously, it's in Korea. Need to get your bets on by 11 p.m. on Wednesday evening for this one.
Oh, very well pointed out, yeah. And like the 100-something field, yeah?
Yeah.
You'll be all over this for your next one, won't you? But yeah, it's the usual field size. Okay, Joe, how many tips for the Korea Championship?
Warm up the vocal cords.
Here we go.
Four!
Oh,
how's that?
Not good. Have you got have the neighbours got a sleeping baby or something?
Well, I actually have, I think. So.
Have that? Okay, fair enough. We'll exonerate you for that one. But yeah, that if you shout that on the course, Joe, and the ball's heading towards people, they're not going to hear that or get out of the way. So you need to work on that. But I'm sure you've been working very hard on your tips. Who is your headliner?
So the best bet for the Korea Championship is Rasmus Højgaard. I was keen to see how he got on last week. He's had 2 months off the Dane. Struggling with injuries earlier in the season, which kept him out of the Hero Cup. He came out of the traps fast in Japan. He shot 66 and a 67 before back-to-back 70s over the weekend. Saw him drop to 16th place. But I think that's a good run out in the context of someone that's had a couple of months off. Hugely encouraging effort after that long break. And this course sets up well for him. A long driver. He can be a bit loose off the tee, but it's wide open off the tees. The main attribute you need here is precise iron play. That's where he thrives. He could have tied it up a bit in Japan last week, but I think that outing will see him, you know, he'll be working hard on the irons. And the four players I've picked this week, they all played in Japan. I think that's an advantage. We mentioned Maronk. He's not played in Japan. I think that's a disadvantage because you're acclimatized to the sort of time zones. I don't know what time at Maronk or when at Maronk's arrived in the Far East.
You say that, it didn't do Herbert any harm last week, did it?
Well, that is true, but I do think that if you're a whole field, then that's definitely advantageous to have played in that time zone the week before. Yeah, Højgaard needs to tighten up a bit with his approach plays, but I think last week's effort was a great potential springboard to another title. He's won three times already on the DP World Tour. Big talent, wins at tough golf courses like the Belfry, Cran-Sercier. This is a tough golf course, should be right up his street.
Jolly good. Rasmus Højgaard is Joe's main fancy. Who do you see as the principal danger?
Yeah, the next best is Yannick Paul at 20-1, one of the best iron players on the DP World Tour over the last couple of years. Churns out greens in regulation for fun, as he did last week when he finished sixth in the ISPS Handa Championship. Ranks second in strokes gained approach. That's strokes gained data for these tournaments is compiled by the caddy. So you have to take it slightly with a pinch of salt. But we can hope that his caddy's been accurate with Yannick Paul's strokes gained data.
They get the caddies to do it. I suppose it makes sense, doesn't it? Otherwise, you've got to have a little army of sort of helpers out there with iPads. Yeah. So I always thought that was how it worked. I didn't realise
they were
that
is how caddies. It works when IMG are in town and they do the shot data. But if there's no shot data, then there's no strokes gained data either.
Oh, okay. So, fair enough.
Yeah, so hopefully Yannick Paul's caddy's been accurate. And like Højgaard's, that came off a decent break. He's not played for 8 weeks before arriving in Japan, but before that, he was runner-up in both Thailand and India. So in excellent form, he's clearly maintained that form over his break. Short game, a bit of a weakness, but this is unlikely to turn into a putting contest. You know, the winning score has been single-digit under par in almost all of those editions of the Genesis Championship over the last few years. Paul's going to use those laser-like irons to find the right spots on the greens. And then hopefully he can win his second title on Sunday.
Jolly good. The third tip?
So the third tip is Callum Hill at 40-1. We haven't seen that much of Callum Hill. He's been struggling with health issues. He was actually bitten by a mosquito in the Portugal Masters in 2021. And suffered some nerve damage as a result. So
really?
That meant he missed virtually all of the 2022 season. I think he only made two starts, but he's back this year. He's healthy and he's been far more promising. He finished 13th in the Dubai Desert Classic and then 20th in the Kenya Open. And then his best finish of all came last week in Japan when he finished third. He struck his irons brilliantly all week and posted four super consistent rounds of 67 or better. And I think it's easy to forget how promising Hill was and perhaps hopefully still is. He reached the world's top 100 when he won the Kazoo Classic in 2021. And he played only five more events before that health scare. But really promising player. Perhaps could have gone even further in the game. Perhaps he still will. Hopefully he can get back on track by winning this week.
Nightmare. Christ, just from a little mozzie bite. Who'd have thought it? Right, and finally, you delving down the list and going for a real cut at one at a big price?
Not too far down, no. This is a 50-1 shot. Old favourite of mine. Sweet spot favourite as well, I think. And that's Guido Migliozzi at 50-1.
Back to form last week.
Yeah, very much so. Been out of form, as you mentioned, but finished 23rd in Japan. Shot a 64 in the third round. And this is a good course fit for him. It's a difficult golf course. We know he plays well on difficult golf courses. He lost a playoff at the Belfry to Richard Bland at the British Masters, and he won at Le Golf National last year, where he hit one of the shots of the year into that 18th hole.
Unbelievable. That
magnificent. He'll need to find red-hot form if he's to make the Ryder Cup team now. The slow start to the year was not what he needed. I don't think he will.
Not going to happen, is it? Well, I mean, you say that, two wins, you might. It looks a bit different, doesn't it? And yeah, they will be desperate to get an Italian in there, won't they, I suppose? But
yeah, six captain's picks. If he wins a couple of times, if he wins a decent title in the summer as well, then he could be knocking on the door. This is something he can definitely set his sights on, though. Nice course fit for him. Good iron player at his best. Not the straightest off the tee. That's not an issue here. So, yeah, Guido Migliozzi looks a solid each-way bet.
Okay, lovely stuff. Right then, if you haven't been able to scribble down all Joe's tips, we will be recapping them very shortly. But first of all, our third tournament this week is LIV Golf Singapore. As usual, three rounds. I think you need to get your bets on basically before you go to bed Thursday night. It starts very early on Friday morning. Here is the latest betting. Cam Smith, remember him? He's 10-1 favourite. Brooks Koepka 12-1. Joachim Niemann 14. Patrick Reed 14. Oh, DJ Dustin Johnson, another sort of remember him. He's 12. Taylor Gooch looking to go back-to-back 16. Answer is 18, and then it's 20 and bigger. The others, the usual 48 runners. Tell us all about the track.
Yeah, so it's Sentosa Golf Club, Sentosa Island, Singapore, 7,406-yard par 71. Familiar golf course. It's hosted the last 14 editions of the Singapore Open, four of which were on the European Tour from 2009 to 2012. Visually, it's sort of reminiscent of TPC Sawgrass, lots of water, quite tight off the tee, so requires accurate driving. Matt Kuchar, Sergio Garcia, Adam Scott have all won at both Sawgrass and Sentosa. So that's the sort of thing we're dealing with.
So steady then. Steady, solid operators.
Yeah.
All right. Lovely stuff. How many tips have you got this week, Joe?
Two for this.
Okay, fire away with your main man.
So the first I've already mentioned, that's Sergio Garcia, who boasts more recent course experience than just about anyone else in this field, I think. Paul Casey was probably the only LIV golfer that played the most recent Singapore Open, but Garcia's played three in the last five or so years. One at Sentosa in 2018, finished seventh in 2019 and 11th in 2017. Finished the inaugural LIV golf season with four top 10 finishes from the last five events. And then this season, he's not been amazing, but he's not been bad as well. He led LIV Golf Tucson through the first two rounds and finished in a tie for six, didn't finish well in the final round there, but obviously playing reasonably well. And then carded three straight four under par rounds to finish tied 11th in Adelaide last week. Accurate operator off the tee and knows he can play this layout well. There are some guys, particularly those at the top of the market, that haven't played Sentosa before. Garcia, plenty of experience of the track, and I think kind of double the price of some of the market leaders. An experienced old campaigner like him is a good fit.
Okay, Sergio, I wasn't expecting that. Who's the other tip?
So the other tip is Anirban Lahiri, and kind of sad start for this. Anirban Lahiri's mother passed away over the weekend. So he is playing this week, and I was arming and ahhing about whether to put him up for this. But
he finished second last weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. And that sort of, we'll get into this, but he says he's going to play, and hopefully he can bring his best golf to the table this week. It's not ideal circumstances, but I really do like his chances. I think he's been playing very well and he has experience of this golf course. He's not played as well as Garcia has here, but he played in those European Tour events. And in 2012, he finished 37th, but that doesn't tell the whole story. He was within five shots of the lead going into the final round, shot a closing 78. So obviously, disaster final round, but that was a good tournament. And he showed that he can score on this golf course. Matteo Manassero, that's enough. I remember him. He won that.
Isn't it just?
He won that, but behind him were Louis Oosthuizen, Rory McIlroy, Thomas Bjorn, Adam Scott, Francesco Molinari. So really high-quality field. Lahiri was very much in the mix going into the final round. Didn't finish that well, but he's been in great form on the LIV Tour. Finished second last week, fast finishing second. And I mentioned that Sawgrass comparison. Can you remember who pushed Cameron Smith furthest in 2022?
Yeah, I can. Lahiri. Yeah.
Anirban Lahiri. Fast finishing runner-up at LIV Adelaide. Was also runner-up in one of the LIV events last year, the name of which escapes me. Definitely one of these players that's thrived for the switch to the LIV Tour. It's hard to pinpoint exactly why. Maybe it's the smaller fields. Who knows? But Lahiri very much getting in the mix in a lot of these events, and hopefully he can do it for his mother this week, I guess.
Interesting. Okay, Joe, well played. I mean, what about Smith and Johnson? Because, when LIV sort of kicked off and once those two had signed up, they were kind of 5-1 joint favourites every week, but not happening, is it?
No, it's not. Cam Smith, I thought, he spent last week in Australia probably partying away with his mates by the looks of how that Adelaide event went down. Don't think that'd be great preparation for this. And he he's playing the course for the first time this week. I was happy to leave him alone. And DJ, just not sure if the motivation's there for DJ at the moment. We talked about this with the Liv players, but is he that bothered? He won an absolute fortune last season and hasn't really caught the eye this year. You'd think he'd be up there every week, given the field sizes on Liv. But yeah.
Maybe one week, one of the two of them will win by half the track and we'll go, oh, God, that was always going to happen, wasn't it? But who knows? Right then, Joe, thank you very much indeed. Let's reiterate your tips. We'll start with the Mexico Open.
So it's Big Johnny Rahm and Gary Woodland.
The Korea Championship.
Rasmus Højgaard, Yannick Paul, Callum Hill and Guido Migliozzi.
And Liv Golf Singapore.
Sergio Garcia and Aniban Lahiri.
Brilliant stuff. Lovely. Okay, Joe, many thanks. And are you on duty in the Racing Post this week, or are you sticking to the Racing and Football Outlook?
No, I've done the RFO this week, and it'll be Ian Wilkerson in the Racing Post.
Okay, so if you want to go on to racingpost.com, or indeed buy a copy of the Racing Post on Wednesday, you will get Wilco's selections for the three tournaments. Joe's reasoning is expanded upon in the brilliant Racing and Football Outlook, available from all good news agents. Or if you're a Racing Post member, you get that free as part of your package. So check out what Joe says about this week's golf. Right then, good luck. Steve will be back, God willing, next week to look at the Wells Fargo Championship and the Italian Open. In the meantime, let us know in the comment section below this video who you fancy. All the best of luck with your golf bets this week. Many thanks, Joe Champion. Many thanks, our wonderful producer, Will Carey. Most of all, though, as always, thank you for watching The Sweet Spot. We'll see you next week.